welcome into the Wizards group chat. I'm your host, Ryan Oliver, alongside my man, Chase Carroll. Chase, we got a little bit of bad news besides the fact that we got our butts handed to us from the Celtics. Bilal out for the season with a fracture in his right wrist. Was originally considered to be a contusion by the team, but maybe it was a bit foreshadowing when he was on the bench yesterday against the Celtics with a brace on his right arm. For the record, I did not watch the Celtics game. This is the first Wizards game I have not watched live this year. I had other things to do. But from what I heard, he had a brace on his right wrist. So that probably was foreshadowing that it was more than a contusion. Obviously, that's really unfortunate. I thought that down the stretch here, we get to see a little bit more of Bilal, kind of getting the training wheels off and getting some more on-ball reps, and his minutes had gone up. He was playing in the mid to high 30s a lot of the time over the past couple of weeks. But Chase, let me start with, how are you? How are you feeling about the Bilal news?
Yeah, I'm great myself, but that's just really brutal news to really see today. Bilal Coulibaly was really the reason for me and a lot of Wizards fans, reasons for optimism, for reason for watching games at the end of the season here, because the last 15 games or so of the season typically are silly season. Like, this is the time we get to see what the young guys can do, an expanded role, and their stats are all inflated, and it's going to be more fun for a tanking team like us to watch. And unfortunately, Bilal Coulibaly, my main reason for watching most of this season, and really, I think, a big part of the franchise moving forward, for him to be missing, I think these are some of the more valuable games for a rookie towards the end of the season. That's just really bad news. And I think he had a pretty solid rookie year. We'll definitely dive a little deeper into maybe his grades or how we felt about that here moving forward. But I'm definitely upset that we won't be getting to see him towards the end of the year here. And as far as young talent on this roster, there's just not much beyond him to really look forward to these last few games. So brutal news, really.
Yeah. It's really unfortunate. For the record, we're recording this maybe 2 hours after the news officially came out. So you're kind of getting our instant reactions to the Bilal news. It is really unfortunate. I thought that he was showing some good signs of progress, especially the last couple of weeks. He was playing more minutes, and as I mentioned, and I thought they were kind of just letting him do a bit more in terms of not holding his hand, or in terms of, like, I feel like early in the season it was like he was getting, 15, 20 minutes, and now they're bumping his minutes up. He was showing effort on the boards. I want to see him play a little bit more on ball. It just sucks. I don't know how many ways we can say it sucks. It's just unfortunate that we're not going to get to see him for these last 20 or so games and him get that valuable time on the court. There's no experience like real NBA minutes. And it's just unfortunate. And it seemed like the injury, I believe it happened against the Bulls. It seemed like it was just kind of like a random fall from contact or something of that nature. From the replay I saw, I didn't think anything of it at the time when I saw it live. So it's unfortunate. I guess we can just move right into, what do we think of Bilal's season as a rookie? Let me give you his averages. Let me pull these up. So his rookie stats, 8 points per game, 4 rebounds, 1.7 assists, basically a steal per game on 43% from the field, 34% from three, 70% from the free throw line. These are stats that I found on Twitter. So these aren't from Basketball Reference. So if something's wrong, forgive me, but those appear to be his rookie stats. Stats don't tell the whole story with Bilal. I thought his defensive impact went beyond the stats. But Chase, you don't have to give a letter grade, but if you want to, feel free. What kind of rookie season do you feel like Bilal had?
Yeah, I guess we might as well give a grade here. I'd give him a B+, truthfully. And early on in the season, I definitely would have given him an A. Unfortunately, he did hit a bit of a rookie wall before this injury, and that's to be expected. He's 19 years old. And he weighs what, 200 pounds. He looks like a child out there, and the fact that he came out so strong was really unexpected for me, especially offensively. He showed a 3-point shot that I think if you watched him in summer league, you definitely didn't anticipate him having that already. So from that perspective, he showed a lot more offensively than I had expected. Like, obviously we wish he would have been in a greater role at this point, towards the end of the year. Offensively, he doesn't get the ball too often, but from what we've seen from him as a spot up shooter, hitting threes in the corner, like, I don't think any of us expected him to be doing things like that already. So obviously he's got a long way to go still on the offensive end, but the fact that he's showing 3-and-D traits already, like, he's immediately, I think, one of our best defenders, if not our best defender, right there alongside Denny. Those young guys can defend, and really, I don't think I've seen an athlete of Bilal Coulibaly's caliber since really John Wall. And I don't mean to compare him to John Wall or anything. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be John Wall, but he showed athletic traits that you can be really excited about. He showed superstar level athleticism. Now, will he ever develop into a superstar? I'm not saying that, but he definitely, it wouldn't surprise me. I think after a rookie year like this, you can anticipate he's hopefully going to gain some strength and size, especially in his first offseason here. I hope with him being out these first 16 games, they find a way to jumpstart his strength and his, I don't know, his workout regimen. I'm sure he's been working out all season, but I think now that he's not playing, you can really start to get a jump start on the off season and hopefully try to put on some weight for him. Like, I think if he gained 10 pounds of muscle here and then, you know, till the next season, he's going to be in a real good position for his sophomore year. So I really think a B plus is a good grade for him. He could have showed a little bit more handling the ball, maybe a little bit more with the ball in his hands. He didn't get an opportunity to do that too often, but I think what we did see, we can be really excited about. So I'll give him a high B.
Yeah, if I had to give him a grade, I think I'd give him just a solid B. I think that my expectations going in for Bilal were pretty non-existent, and I don't mean that in an offensive way. I just mean I knew he was very raw, and I didn't know much about him in terms of, like, I hadn't seen a full game of Bilal before seeing him in a Wizards uniform in summer league. Like, I didn't have anything to really base it off of other than, you know, like, highlights on YouTube or in draft analysis, you know, from the last draft cycle. So I didn't really have a strong expectation going into the year. What I did know was that he looked like a little kid, and he was very athletic, but he was raw. And I knew that going in. So I feel like I just wanted to see traits and signs of of things that can go, what am I trying to say? Like, I wanted to see foundational skill set of a player that can be a successful player going forward, like a franchise level player going forward. And what I mean is, like, not franchise player in the sense of, like, how John Wall was, where he has the ball in his hands all the time, but, like, can he be a guy that is a high-level player going forward? And I think we saw that immediately on the defensive end, as you mentioned. It's just his natural instincts, his length. He just has things that you can't teach on that end of the floor. And I think that I was really encouraged that that side of the ball was as far along as it is, you know, that as we've seen it is. It's not perfect, but the fact that he's held his own against some of the best scorers in the world and not gotten embarrassed. Like, I can't think of a time where I watched Bilal this season guarding, like, Luka or Tatum or someone of that caliber and been like, oh my God, they're just cooking him. Like, there really hasn't been that. You know, I'm sure they've gotten him once or twice. I'm not remembering one of those caliber of players, but it wasn't like that he was just getting cooked out there. And I think even the best young defenders in the league are going to have those, I mean, the best defenders period have that, right? Like even like Gobert gets dunked on every once in a blue moon or whatever. It's, that stuff happens. But I feel like Bilal really held his own. And this is just scratching the surface of what he's going to do defensively because he's so young and raw. Like once he really gets more weight on his frame, as you were saying, he becomes more comfortable out there. He learns more. He's just going to be even better. So the stats don't show everything with Bilal to me. I thought he had, was making progress even as a rebounder towards the end of his rookie season here the past couple weeks. I think that his instincts with steals and his and quick hands are just like amazing. And it's, they're things you can't teach. And it gives you high hopes for what the Wizards culture can be defensively going forward, to have their first, this front office's first pick be a guy that really is a high level defensive player comparative to other rookies. That's really encouraging to me. And I think that we want that in terms of a foundational piece, is to be a great defender. So I think Bilal has that the foundation to be a great defender. I think the offense is going to be a work in progress, but I will say the shot was further along than I thought it was going to be. I think shooting 34%, if you had asked me an over under on 34% for his 3-point shot, I honestly would have taken the under. Like I would have thought he would have been around 30%, to be honest, because I thought his release looked pretty slow, and it is somewhat slow, but he makes it more than I thought he was going to make it. I just think that there's a lot to be really excited about with Bilal, and with a full summer of development, hopefully this wrist injury doesn't linger. He can just get it right, go into the offseason, have a strong offseason, put some weight on, and work with the training staff and the coaching staff, or however that works over the offseason program, and come back really strong next season. But so I would give him a B. I think an A for me is a, like what Victor Wembanyama is doing, you know, like that type of thing, or like what Chet Holmgren is doing. And so I would reserve the really, really high grades for guys that are just kind of having that no-brainer like type of impact. But for where the expectations were for Bilal, I think he's had a really, really solid rookie season, and I'll give him a solid B. I'm pleased with what I've seen.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I gave him a B+. I'm a noted Bilal Coulibaly stan, so I had to just give him the increased grade just based on that alone.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of Bilal too, so I'm just excited to see where things go from here with him. It's a bummer to have it end like this, because there was just going to be a stretch where I felt like he was just going to have a lot of playing time, especially with all these injuries. Let's talk about that for a second. I mean, Denny is out with this right knee injury. It looked bad when he slipped on the floor, to be honest. I know it was, I can't remember who they were playing, but that was 3 games ago, and I was surprised when they said that he was actually cleared to play in the Bulls game, and then they pulled him out after warmups. I guess he tried to give it a go and it wasn't working, and he's been ruled out for their next game too, which is I guess tomorrow night. I'm not sure who they're playing off the top of my head, but I hope Denny's okay. That's unfortunate. Bagley's still injured. Tyus is still injured. Kuzma is questionable with a shoulder injury. He missed the last game, the Celtics game. I mean, it's just, I don't know what's going on. I mean, around the league, if you look, there's just so many injuries. And this is the kind of year where they kind of start to pile up, but it's really unfortunate. Chase, did you see any of the Boston game?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it towards the end, when it shouldn't have been watched at that point. But really, yeah, really sad state of affairs when you're throwing out guys like
Champagne-y
yeah, exactly. And it's unfortunate that's the caliber of young player we're really going to be watching towards the end of the year. We're definitely going to get into Tristan Vukovic. I hope he plays next game, because there's no one else to play. Like, throw the kid out there as long as he's conditioned and healthy and fit. Like, get him on the court. He may not know the plays by now, but at this point, like, who else are you throwing out there? We should probably talk about him.
Yeah, let's actually jump right into the Tristan Vukcevic portion of this conversation. So I don't know, let's say 3 days ago. I can't remember how many days it was, but a couple of days ago, it got reported that he had been he activated his NBA exit clause in his contract overseas. He was going to be making the trip over to join the Wizards. Woj reported that it was a 2-year deal for Tristan. His overseas stats were 10, excuse me, about 11 points a game, 3 rebounds, half a block. He was 67.5% on twos, 44% on threes, 80% the free throw line. Shouts out to Kevin Foley from Wizards Film Room, because this is a tweet from him that I'm reading with these stats. So shout out to him for providing the stats so I didn't have to look them up. But so it seems like the deal from, so this is from Keith Smith, who does good work in terms of like the cap stuff. He said that Vucevic got part of the non-taxpayer mid-level exception in his 2-year deal. So he got $2.4 million for the remainder of the season with a $2.4 million team option for next season. So basically it's a 2-year deal that starts now. So this year is basically one of the years, the last X amount of games he plays this year is it counts as a year, and then next year's team option. Let's start with the excitement level you have about Vucevic joining the Wizards, and then we'll kind of talk about the contract stuff. How are you feeling about Tristan joining the squad?
I'm really excited about it, and this news came, of course, before the Bilal news. I had been super excited that we were going to get both of our rookies playing at the same time, hopefully getting heavy minutes at the same time. And of course, the Bilal news just came out, and we have nobody to play in these next few games. So I'm hoping we get to see a whole lot of him early, because I mean, he's got what, 16 or so games left of the season to really see what he can do at the NBA level. Might as well throw him out there and see what he can do, especially with the center rotation being what it is today. Marvin Bagley hurt, Holmes hurt. Like, let's see what the young kid can do in some heavy minutes. Like, we saw a little bit of it during the summer league, and he impressed at least me on a few occasions, especially offensively. I think he has a lot more of a bag at this point, you know, being young, that, yeah, I think any of us knew when he was drafted. We had both been excited about that pick. Even dating before the draft, we talked about how we would have liked a guy like that, just based off of what we saw at the NBA draft combine. So this kid is, he's an exciting prospect. And we had, on the last pod, I even mentioned how I thought it was ridiculous he hadn't been on the team. I definitely didn't expect us to be giving him a call this season. I thought that was out the door. So the fact that he's coming to see what he can do the last 16 games of the year, I'm really excited to have him in the building now. This is our second round pick. I thought he was going to be a stash for the entire year. So let's see what the kid can do in his rookie year.
Yeah, when I saw the Woj tweet, I was really, really excited. To be honest, I remember when you and I were talking after the draft. I think this was before we actually hit record on the pod, but I said to you, I think I'm a little more excited about the Vucevic pick than the Bilal pick. And I was saying it a bit like in jest, but I really was a big fan of Vucevic before the draft as a second round pick, to be clear. Like, that was the guy I was hoping they were going to pick. And I stayed up to watch the second round, kind of fingers crossed that that was who they were going to take. And they did. So I'm really excited about him. I think that what we saw in the summer league was a mixed bag, but I was definitely encouraged. I think that he's going to have a fair amount of work to do to be a productive NBA player. But I felt like the sooner he could come over, the better. And I wanted to see him at the beginning of the year. And so I'm not mad at all at them just bringing him over now and getting him acclimated to the Wizards system and all that. Like, what's the harm of letting him play the last 15 games of the season? He can get his feet wet. The stakes are low, so they're not trying to win games at this point. They can play him as much or as little as they want, and there's not going to be so much pressure on it. He kind of just come, get used to the system, play. They can evaluate him, see what he needs to work on. this offseason, see how he's progressed maybe since the last time they've seen him, you know, in a Wizards uniform. And let's just see what he can do. I'm really excited, though. I mean, I feel like he's a guy that has an offensive game that can be very impressive, but I want to see it against actual NBA talent. So this is where I think we get a real sense of the type of player he is or isn't, right? Let's get a real sense. And I would much rather play him than Holmes, much rather play him than Amarui, Baldwin Jr. too. All these guys, he to me becomes the immediate priority on the roster in terms of experience and minutes, because the rest of the guys on the team, frankly, don't matter all that much outside of maybe Kispert at this point. And, you know, since Bilal is out, the rest of the guys are pretty much all expendable outside of Vuk and Kispert to me at this point. So I'm excited that they brought him over. I know there's been a lot of to-do about on social media from our fan base, just kind of wondering what's going on with the contract situation and why would they bring him over now. I think that this is another one of those things where I think we all kind of need to be patient and see what the plan's going to be going forward, because I don't think that this isn't a well-thought-out move. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe I'm giving the front office too much benefit of the doubt, but I just have a hunch that there's probably more at play in terms of, like, they have to pay to buy him out of his contract. From what I heard, they had to pay two separate clubs a certain amount of money to get him out of his overseas responsibilities to come over here. And my just educated guess is that his agent and him, Vuk, have some leverage in the situation too, because he doesn't have to come over. So I think it's not just as simple as, well, why didn't they give him the 4-year deal as cheap as possible? I think it's because he has some say in the situation himself. It's not just like that normal standard second round player who's just like desperate to get in the NBA. I think he does want to play in the NBA, but I also think that he probably makes enough money overseas and has enough cachet where he doesn't have to just take any contracts. So I think there's some finagling here where they're trying to pay him a certain amount of money to come over now, and then maybe they'll decline the team option and give him a longer deal. So it's like both sides can win. That's just a hunch. I don't know that for a fact, but I think that's kind of what I think is going on here with the contract. Chase, do you have any thoughts on the contract in general? Did you think it was weird? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, my initial thoughts were definitely that I had wished it was a longer contract, of course, but I'm not going to act like I know the ins and outs of this contract. I'm sure there's a plan at place by the front office. This is their second round pick. They initially had him play overseas. Like, this was definitely a plan all along to have him brought over, I think, at this time. And I don't think any of us knew it, but I'm sure this was exactly how the front office planned this: get experience overseas and then bring him over for the end stretch of the season. If this was all planned the whole time, then I really like this move by the front office. But of course, it does feel weird, the contract length. Typically second round picks are due for a couple more years on their contract than two. So I hope that the front office has a plan in place. I hope you're correct, because I think that would be a smart thing to do. But I definitely am I'm just excited that we get to see him at all this season. Like, a contract aside, I'm not worried about the future years. It remains to be seen whether we even want him after a second year. Like, he could absolutely be awful at the NBA level and we want out of that contract. So the fact that we don't have too many guys locked into long-term contracts, you know, after a couple of years from now, that's not necessarily the worst thing. But hopefully he's good and that becomes a good problem to have.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking that too, about, well, we just really don't know how good or bad he's going to be at the NBA level. Like, plenty of guys that you're excited about turn out to just not be good players, right? Like, it happens. So as much as both of us are excited about about Vuk, who knows? I mean, our opinion could be different in two weeks if he doesn't look good. So we might not want him on a 4-year deal. Like, oh man, he has a guaranteed 4 years. Like that might not be ideal. I obviously hope that's not the case. And I don't think that'll be the case, but you just never know. You just never know how these things are gonna go. So I just think that right now with Winger and Dawkins, I know that I say this every time, and at some point it's going to change because we won't be in the first year of this, and I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt on everything as we get more information. But for now, I just kind of default to I'm not going to feel too moved either way, unless just something is completely egregious or something is completely great. Like, I'm just kind of always in the middle about these things where I'm like, you know what? I think there's a plan here about with this contract, and it does seem abnormal on its face, but trading for, you know, Chris Paul, Shaman, a bunch of second round picks and swaps seemed a little abnormal on his face. And, you know, in hindsight, you know, they maybe messed that up with trading it for Poole. But in the moment, I was like, oh, you know what? There was a larger plan here at place that they had to further flip the asset. So I think that sometimes things just don't look how they initially look long. Like they're not always going to look how they look on their face in the moment. So, you know, we might get to the offseason here and they just sign him to a 3-year deal, and then we just feel, you know, it doesn't feel as weird. It just was a mechanism to get him over now, and maybe they were trying to, you know, make this him have some incentive to come now by giving him a larger amount of money up front or whatever, that type of thing. But it'll be interesting to see. I'm really excited to see Vuk. What is your gut expectation in terms of his role? Like, this is based off of pure speculation because we haven't really heard anything from the actual Wizards about the signing. I mean, they did make it official. Like, they put it on social media that he was being signed, but we haven't heard anything in terms of like what his role and things like that are going to be and when he's going to make his debut. What's your impressions of that? What do you expect from Vuk?
I expect Keith to probably bring him in off the bench in a lesser role here. Last few games of the season, I do wish that we would just start him immediately, give him 30 plus minutes and just see what the kid can do, especially given the fact that we don't have a healthy center on the rotation right now. We've been throwing out Kuzma and Denny center lineups, and it was fun for a game or two, but that's clearly not a long-term plan at the center position. We've been getting killed on the boards ever since we've had to do that. Not that Vuk's going to be some kind of, you know, legendary rebounder. I don't think that's his game, but I think they need a center out there. Absolutely. It's been a real tough watch, both offensively and defensively, without one. So I do expect him to probably come in off the bench once we get Bagley back, and he'll probably play 15 minutes a night just to get his feet wet in the NBA before maybe getting a bigger role next season. I hope that he can just, you know, come right in next season and be a contributor. I don't expect him to be that already this early into his NBA career, but if he shows anything here the last 16 games, I'm going to be very excited about it.
Yeah, I think my expectation is right in line with yours. I feel like when he does make his debut, he's going to play somewhere between 12 to 18 minutes, I guess, would be the range that I would kind of have him in to get his feet wet, and maybe towards the last 7 to 10 games, he gets up to the 20 to 25 minute per game range. But one thing I do hope is that they don't prioritize playing like Holmes over him. Like, I really hope that, and I don't mean it with Bagley out. I mean, like, once Bagley is back and we have three bigs on the roster, I hope they don't say, oh, well, we have to play both Bagley and Holmes. Like, no, we don't have to play. We don't have to play Holmes. Like, we can just run Bagley and Vuk, and Holmes can be like that kind of emergency third guy. Like, I hope that they fall into that. Maybe not immediately. Like, I know they need to get Vuk acclimated to things. So they're not just going to be like, okay, you're going to play 20 minutes. But I do want them to get to a point where, okay, if we're bringing him over, I do want him to play. I don't want it to be one of these things where he's playing Johnny Davis. That's Johnny Davis, like 8 minutes or, you know, whatever. Like, I want him to actually play a real 18 to 20, maybe 20, 22 minutes. Like, I think that's realistic. I don't think they're going to play him 25 plus minutes per game. I just can't see that. It definitely not initially. But what I do hope is they let him play against some second units, kind of get his confidence up maybe, and we can kind of see where things go. But I'm definitely excited to see what Big Boot can do. And I feel like it's not often that they pick a player in the second round that like actually has some tantalizing abilities. I feel like it's usually some guy that just feels like, he could be like, maybe he's a poor man's Jay Crowder. Sorry, that's an Admiral Schofield shot, I guess. But I remember when they picked him, I honestly wasn't familiar with his game, and I went and looked up highlights, and I was just so underwhelmed. I was like, I mean, yeah, I guess in his highlights he looks like he could be like Jay Crowder, but I just don't see it. I don't know.
I won't stand for this Cassius Winston slander.
Yeah,
It just doesn't sit right with me.
I remember some comp for
Kyle
Winston
Lowry Jr.
was, I was gonna say, was like, oh, he could be the next Kyle Lowry. And I remember, and I was like, yo, this dude looks so unathletic. Like, I just didn't,
Yeah, Kyle Lowry.
it's just
That's the
so
Kyle
interesting.
Lowry we got.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Lowry is not the most athletic dude in the world. Now that is true. But I just, some of these second round picks, you're like, man, like I really just don't see it. Like, I don't see the Cassius Winston thing. Like, I don't see what the thought behind it was. I don't see the thought behind, I guess on some level, I could see where the Schofield thing was like, if it broke right, you found like a 3-and-D wing. Like, I maybe, but like it I was just underwhelmed from the jump with that one. And then, like, don't get me started on like the Esuf Sanin and the Yannick Nzoza or whatever, however you pronounce his name. That guy, like, does he exist? Is he a real person? Is he a parody of a person that,
Him versus Vuk in 3 years, that center battle is going to go crazy. Like, just wait
but
on it.
that's one of those things though where you're like, yo, like, you couldn't have just picked some guy that went to like Duke or something like that, that like actually like has some pedigree in terms of school that you could be like, I forget the draft now, but it was a draft that like Gary Trent Jr. was in. And I remember the Wizards had a pick in the second round. And I was thinking, I know nothing about Gary Trent Jr. other than he can shoot and that he went to, I think it was Duke, but he went to one of those prolific schools. And I was like, please just pick this guy. Like, what's the worst that can happen in the second round with this pick? Like, the worst that can happen is he's a bust, right? But you never know. You might find a shooter diamond in the rough. And they pick someone else. I forget. It might have been the Esuf Sanin draft. And I was like, come on, man. Like, who is this guy that we picked? Like, I just couldn't. But I'm like, I'd at least pick the guy with some pedigree, right? Like, don't, if you're gonna burn a second round pick, you might as well pick the guy with some pedigree. I just didn't understand it, man. I just didn't understand it. But
Yeah, to your point, just having a second round pick that we can actually look forward to. We haven't had one in forever. I think Isaiah Todd was the last one that I had been excited about the possibility of, and of course he never materialized into what we hoped he would be. But just having a guy that you can be excited about, like we haven't taken any swings in the second round other than, I guess you can consider Yannick Nzoza a swing, but that swing will never ever play on our team. So awful swing. But just having a guy actually in our building, the draft and stash, you know how that goes. Some of them never come over. Esuf Sanin never came over. Yannick will never come over. Satoransky, our last draft stash that actually ended up being a pretty good pick. So let's hope we found our center Satoransky, and he's just a solid wizard for a few years. I think that's the most you can expect out of a guy like this. Just a Satoransky type of career where he provides you a few good seasons as a valuable player on a good team, and I think that's all you can expect.
I mean, you kind of hope that he can have a career along the lines of like Yusuf Nurkic or something like that, like that kind of overseas play. And like, I think Jokic is obviously like the home run, but it's not going to happen. Like, it's not going to be that level. So, not even going to actually throw that out there. But you just hope that he can have that type of career where he's like in a perfect world, that he's like a starting center for 8 to 10 years, eventually once he gets there. And, you never know. I remember when Jokic got drafted in the second round, and I think I was listening to, I forget what podcast I was listening to, but it wasn't that long ago, and they were saying that the Nuggets honestly hoped that he could develop into being Nurkic's backup, and they were hoping that he honestly was just going to develop into like a nice rotation center.
They played a Taco Bell ad yeah, when he was picked.
Like, exactly. And so it wasn't, they weren't even drafting him with the thought that he was going to be like a really good player. I think they thought that he would be, hopefully he could be a rotational level big. And so he obviously had natural physical limitations that you couldn't project forward. He was going to be the best player in the league, right? Like, you know, it's just funny how probably the one of the least, the least athletic players in the league is the best player in the league, which is, it just goes to show you how skilled he is. But you just hope that that Vuk can develop into being that kind of guy, like a nice diamond in the rough that turns out to be a guy that can be one of the top eight guys in your rotation type of player. Like if that's what it turns out to be, I would be ecstatic, and hopefully it's more. So we'll just kind of have to see where things go with that. But there isn't that much other Wizards news to touch on. I mean, we're losing games. That's not surprising. I wish they were a little bit more competitive, but with all the injuries, it's going to be hard. I think maybe the last thing that I want to touch on here, Chase, before we wrap up, is have you seen anything from any of the young guys that's not Kispert, Denny, Bilal, that has been intriguing to you? And I'm putting you on the spot, so I'm gonna answer this question first because I want to talk about this. I haven't really seen anything from any of the young guys, and so here's who I'm talking about: Johnny Davis, obviously, Patrick Baldwin Jr., the Champagne guy that they just brought on. Who am I missing off the top of my head that's considered a young guy at this point? Am I missing anybody?
Jared Butler showed a little bit.
Right. Jared
Butler. I'll say he's been slightly intriguing, and he hasn't gotten the role that I think I would have hoped so far. Given Jordan Poole's obviously in the building, obviously they still want to go to Tyus Jones, despite the fact that he probably shouldn't be in the building next year. It's shaping up to be a possibility. So I'd say he'd be the only real intriguing guy for me at this point that's considered young. I don't know, maybe you consider Marvin Bagley young. He is, what, 25 years old, so maybe he hits that young threshold, but probably not. He's had enough years in this league to where I think you can't call him that at this point. So maybe Jared Butler. Otherwise, to your point, not an exciting rookie campaign, or not even a rookie campaign, second-year campaign for Johnny Davis. Patrick Baldwin has not impressed me in the slightest, and yeah. I just don't think he's an NBA player at this point.
He was the main guy I actually like that made me even think of this, of bringing this up, was I just haven't seen anything, and he was someone I was excited about in terms of that trading Chris Paul and getting him back, in addition to obviously Poole and the 2030 pick I believe they got in that deal. I was, again, when I say excited, I'm using that word in like a loose sense of the word. Like I mean I was intrigued, I guess I should say. Like I thought that he was a former highly ranked recruit, and sometimes I do wonder, like, obviously he didn't get picked as high as he was once projected for a reason, but sometimes I wonder how these guys before they get to college are ranked so high, and then they have 1 year at college and they're like, they go from a projected top three pick to a projected late first or second round pick. And I'm like, well, dang, like it really makes, and obviously it does, right? But you think like, dang, like that 1 year made such a difference in terms of like what people believed his ability in the NBA would be. And with Baldwin Jr., I remember that he was supposed to be like a kind of like a wing shooter. And I feel like when I watch him shoot, I don't think it's going to go in. And I don't have a lot to base it off of in terms of like his film from high school or his film from college. So I don't have any of that to base it off, because I've honestly never seen any of that. But from what clips I've seen from him when he was on the Warriors, I don't know. I just thought we were getting a guy that could do a little more. And I don't really see, like, when I watch the games, I don't notice him when he does play. And he's been not playing a ton of minutes, but I feel like, you know, even I'll notice Johnny Davis make miss a layup, or I'll notice Johnny Davis play a little good defense, or I'll see Jared Butler make a nice pass, or what. I sometimes I just don't notice Baldwin Jr. is even on the floor, and I have to really focus on, okay, I'm going to watch him this possession to, like, kind of hone in on what he's doing. And I haven't really seen anything that makes me feel like I need to see more, I guess. Like, and that kind of sucks. You know, you hope that maybe there could have been a diamond in the rough or a rotational level player that they could have found there. And maybe they do. Eventually he gets better or whatever. But I think overall, like, it's been pretty disappointing in terms of the young guys on the team. I don't really like what they've done with the two-way spots. I mentioned before the season when Amari got signed that I was okay with the signing because I thought that he was an energy guy. And he is, and he does provide hustle, but that's really all he does. He's not a skilled NBA player. And I mentioned that in that podcast we talked about the signing of him. I said he's not a good NBA player, but he's a culture type of guy where he's a guy that everyone's going to root for. All the players know he's not the most talented, but he's probably the hardest worker out of everybody. So they can appreciate that. Everyone respects that. And so that's cool and all, but I don't want to see him play 20 minutes a night. I don't want him in the rotation, actually. You know, like, I've seen enough. I don't need to see any more. I probably am less intrigued by Jared Butler than maybe the consensus of our fan base is at this point. Like, I think he could be a third string point guard potentially, but I don't really see much beyond that. And we already know what we see in Johnny Davis, which is he could be out the league next year, and that wouldn't surprise me. So yeah, I'm just disappointed in general with the young guys, aside from Bilal.
Mook is he's something to look forward to. That's what I'll give him. Like, he could be bad, he could be terrible, but I'm excited about something. Bilal, unfortunately, is out. Like, something's got to fill the void and give me a reason to watch, and it's none of these other young guys. So, Vuk, step on in and save us, please. Save my eyes, because it's going to be a tough watch. Like, 16 games of this, if it was like 5 games, okay, like, we could deal with this. This is a couple games here to be watching.
We're already down to 16 games?
Whew. Yeah, we've watched this much Wizards basketball.
Can you believe that? I was still thinking there's 20 some odd games. Yeah, I haven't been looking at the schedule in terms of games left, but I mean, I guess that makes sense. You know, it's that time of year. We're going to have to start turning our attention to the draft here pretty soon on the Wizards Group Chat podcast, because I don't know how much more I'm going to be that interested in talking about. It wouldn't honestly surprise me if they were really, really conservative with Denny going forward. I mean, if his knee has any type of, you know, pain or whatever, there's no point of risking further injury when you're you know, 16 games left or anything like that. And I think you're already seeing it with Kuzma. It's like, oh, he has a shoulder injury. I'm sure he has some soreness or whatever, but I think this is more of, all right, like, our team has some injuries. In addition to that, like, we don't need to wear Kuzma and some of these guys out down the stretch run of the season. Because, like I said, like, in the last pod, I think that they want to assure that they have the worst record, because, like, I want that. I want them to have the worst record because they want to ensure they have a top five pick and don't somehow slip to pick 7 when we've had the second worst record in the league. You know what I mean? It's like, let's ensure we have a top five pick here. So I honestly think we're going to see really conservative, like, with the injuries for the vets, like Tyus and Kuzma and guys like that. Like, I don't think, and even Denny, like I mentioned, like, I don't think they're going to be pushing them to come back or to play in a bunch of these games down the stretch. Because why would they? There's no reason to at this point, but it's going to be a tough watch. I honestly, like, I watched every game, but Sunday, I was like, you know, I'm going to take my son to the park instead. Like, I'm just going to do that and not make him watch the game with me. So, I think that was a better decision, and I think that's might we might have to make some business decisions down the stretch here to not be as invested in the product on the court night to night, because it's going to be a tough watch.
Yeah, save your son the tough Wizards years. He deserves to get out in the park during these during these rough ones. He'll enjoy the Wizards games in 4 years. Don't just patience.
For sure. Well, Chase, do you have anything before we sign off here?
No, it's going to be a tough watch here at the end of the season, but we're going to do it, and we're going to cover everything there is to cover, if there is anything to cover. Like right. we might continue to have 30-point blowout losses, and I think that's the expectation for us, or for me at least. But we're going to talk about things for sure here coming up. I'm excited about the draft. Like I've been in draft mode for weeks, months now, studying up on who I want. I still don't know, but we'll start to lock in on
yeah, I'm going to have to lock in the draft. So, maybe we'll shift our focus on to having some of our peers on that are like a little bit more tuned in and plugged into the draft than we are. We can have some more guests on here to actually discuss what we're all excited about. And it's like what we're going to do with these two first round picks that we have coming up. But Chase, pleasure talking to you as always, and we'll catch y'all on the next one.